is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 7, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Will be found in your Bible, 1283. Let's pray before we read God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word in our hands. We're pretty much open to read your holy scriptures every day so that we can understand you. We thank you so much for revealing yourself through these wonderful scriptures so that we will know your salvation plan, and we will know your wills, and also we will know about your amazing grace. Lord, this is a great time to worship you, to read the scriptures as a group, as brothers and sisters. So, Lord, would you please bless us as I'm going to open this Bible and read it to the congregation. Lord, bless my lips and bless my words so that we will only remember you, we will only worship you. I can only preach the gospel, preaching about Jesus Christ this very moment. So Lord, bless us. We pray your son in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the word of God from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by the people of the old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered God to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commanding him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he could not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commanded as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he commanded the whole world became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. We'll move to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by the so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings to so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. This is the word of God. When we read the Bible, we know what Jesus said to his disciples. Jesus rebuked his disciples, saying, "Oh, you of little faith." We cannot escape from what Jesus said to his disciples, because sometimes that phrase applies to us. Jesus rebuked his disciples when they were afraid of something. Jesus rebuked his disciples when the disciple, doubted. Jesus rebuked his disciples when the disciple, were worrying about their lives and food and things they didn't carry. Then what about you and me? How do you think about your faith? Or how can you define your faith to Jesus Christ? If someone comes to you and asks you, what is faith? Then how can you explain to that person? Now, we know that to define faith is not an easy task, because so many different aspects we can talk about it, and so many different angles we can approach to faith. So, talking about faith is not a simple issue, a simple subject. The truth is that we, as Christians, we're struggling to define the meaning of faith almost every day. Sometimes we see faith this angle, sometimes from that angle, sometimes faith applied that situation, sometimes faith applies those different situations. R.C. Sproul, I know that our congregation loves R.C. Sproul, so I read his book and he said, faith is a central to the biblical view of redemption. What a nice definition and summarize of about faith. Faith is a definitely related to our salvation. It's not something out there, hanging there, not related to your lifestyles, but it is related to our salvation. In Romans chapter 3, even chapter 4 and chapter 5, you read, you will see the definition of faith and any kind of faith-related theological approaches. Now, from chapter 3, Romans chapter 3 and 4, 5, what we see is biblical understanding of righteousness. We are righteousness because of Jesus Christ. Those things are based on faith. So biblical understanding of righteousness is completely based on faith. And Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 said, we have been justified by faith. What does it mean that? And in verse 2 said, we have also obtained access by faith into His grace. Simply, we were able to get into God's grace because of faith. Seems to me that faith is like a key. We can open the door. Is that means we can have that faith with our own abilities and our knowledges or our experiences? Sometimes people misunderstand that. That's not. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 say, faith is a gift from God. That makes us so confusing. Okay, we do have faith, so we are able to go into God's grace. But that faith is not even from us, but it's a gift from God. Once we realize that, we feel that is grace. Nothing is done by us, but everything is done by God's grace. Other questions we should think about faith is, how is your faith? How is your faith working when you face so many difficult situations and trials and persecutions or other unexpected circumstances? How do you react? Unknown future ahead of you. You don't know what to do tomorrow. What is your faith in that situation working? What about this question? How do you keep your faith? Not even thinking about if you have faith or not. How do you keep your faith when things are not clear and unknown? Your future, your job, your life. When you have so many unbearable circumstances around you, you can say, that's it, I can't take it more. Then how can you keep your faith in that situation? What about this question? We need to think about it. How do you manifest your faith, even our faith, to non-believers, to the world, even to our city, even to our nation? How can you manifest your faith in Jesus Christ in various life-challenging situations? Do we do that? Now, Hebrews chapter 11, 12 are great chapters because it guides us to see some truthful facts of Christian faith. I don't want to say that it's definition of faith, but we should not assume that both chapters will give us the final answers about faith. It's not. It's part of it. But these chapters, chapter 11 and 12, surely will help you and me to see what is the faith that we have, to see faith objectively from outside of the faith, to understand the meaning of faith from many different angles. So, what's a faith in Hebrews? The few fundamental concepts that we have to talk about in faith in the Hebrews is about, I'm going to tell you three things. Few concepts that runs in Hebrews, biblical faith that runs in the book of Hebrews is found in chapter 6, which is not our text, but chapter 6 and verse 12, it runs in our text too. And our text, chapter 11 and 6 and 11 and 2. The first one is chapter 6 and verse 12. It's kind of foundation. The author of Hebrews, the reason I say it is we don't know who wrote it. People say that Paul wrote it. And chapter 6 and verse 12 says, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now the point of chapter 6 and verse 12 is inheritance. We only inherit God's promises through faith. And in chapter 11 and verse 6 said, this is a striking statement. Without faith, we'll be talking about this one quite a while today. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So is God happy because we have faith? Is God pleased with your faith? The text says that God is pleased with our faith in Jesus Christ. Now these both verses in chapter 6 and 11 confirm that faith is all about our relationship to God. So faith is our faith that we can get into God's grace, but faith is completely our relationship to God. So faith is not about something what you can do, but it is all about receiving inheritance from God, receiving what God has promised in the Scriptures. We have received His grace, and we will receive His grace again and again. Faith is not about making ourselves proud. This is what I've done. This is what I will do because of I have faith in me. Not that way. But this is all about, faith is Christian, faith is all about giving glory to God, which means pleasing God. We make Him happy. Now, an interesting point is found in chapter 11, verse 2, which is the third foundational concept, is, for by it, the people of old received their commendation. Now, we see that this verse 2, that God is the one who confirmed their faith, and God is the one who will confirm our faith. So sometimes it is very, very tricky and dangerous. We can measure someone else's faith. If you don't have faith, if you have faith, it is very dangerous to say that. For by it the people of old received their commendation. God is the one who will say that. And our Bible, ESV, said the people of the old received. Now, the received in the original text means approved or to be well spoken of. Now, this particular word was used to speak of the public witness to a person's character with a passive verb in verse 2. We understood that God is acting in that scene. God is the one who praised their faith. God is the one who approved people's faith in the Bible in all time. So, simply say, God testifies your faith and my faith as God testified their faith in the Old Testament. It is something that we will continue to remember in chapter 11 and chapter 12 as we will reflect on the meaning of faith today. So one of the best illustrations about faith, maybe we can say kind of definition about faith, is found in chapter 11, verse 1. We know all these famous verses. Verse 1 says, faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of the things that not seen. What a wonderful verse, but it's very complicated to understand. The first one is, the author of Hebrews describes the meaning of faith based on future hope. So faith is related to our future hope. And at things of unseen, especially our author is talking about in the people in the Old Testament, and the both the future hope and the things of unseen, both are pointing at God's redemptive promises in Jesus Christ. Once again,
what the author is saying, that things like a future hope and things unseen is not about events that will get jackpot and we'll get a lot of money. Not that way, but future hope and things of unseen is God's redemptive promises in the Bible and for God's people in Jesus Christ. So we can say the Christian faith cannot be understood without Jesus Christ. Christ is surely the center of our faith, so we have to focus our minds and hearts, everything in Jesus Christ, then we will be able to understand the meaning of future hope and unseen things. Now, our author says that faith is assurance of what we hope for. Assurance can be understood as sure, a certainty, and a confidence. Hope is not about worldly hope, but it is about hope of God's promises in the Bible, His redemptive promises. Since our hope is anchored to God's redemptive promises, so our hope is not coming from ourselves and our experiences, but it is from the Word of God. And verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. So it's kind of complicated understanding, but faith is related to Jesus Christ, unseen thing, God's redemptive. If God's redemptive promises, it's Word of God. So Word of God is our assurance. That's verse 1 saying. The Word of God, the Scripture is our promise, God's promise, and our confidence, and the Word of God is our faith. So the Bible actually is our faith. In that sense, Christian faith is not subjective, which means I can say, oh, I could do something because I'm able to do it. I will be able to do something because I can do it. I hope I can do it. Not that way. But Christian faith is rather objective because we have this Word of God. Because of our faith is anchored to the Word of God, God's promises, His covenant in the Scriptures, because that is our hope, our faith is very objective. Christian faith begins with God's promises, as I said. That's why Paul says, Ephesians chapter 2:8, faith is a gift from God. If faith is all about me and my ability and my possibility, my hope, we cannot say that this is a gift. But God has given to you His Word, His promises. That can be our faith and our hope. Faith is a gift from God. In verse 1 says, faith is conviction of things not seen. The word conviction also appears in the Bible only one time here. It's interesting to try to find a different word, but it cannot be found only one time here, and it means proof and demonstration. Simply saying, faith is a demonstration of something, proving something. The author of Hebrews clearly says in his part, faith is a demonstration with the things not seen. The first century Christians knew what the author of the Hebrews was saying. Things not seen, that's Jesus Christ. Things not seen, for the Old Testament people, that is the Messiah. They didn't see the Messiah, but they're waiting. Now, Peter clearly describes what that means about things not seen in 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen, concerning this salvation, that's things not seen. The prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. They were searching for the Messiah. They inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. But they didn't see, but they believed things unseen. People in the Old Testament waited for the Messiah and God's promises and God's redemption. Although they didn't see and they didn't physically see the Messiah, what the text said is they waited and they believed Jesus Christ is coming, the Messiah is coming to earth. That is the meaning of a conviction. conviction of things not seen. We're not saying that we don't know when Jesus Christ is coming, but we sure that we're positively saying that Jesus Christ will come. That is a things not seen for us. Like the people in the Old Testament, we're sure that God will fulfill His promises, that Jesus Christ will surely come. In that sense, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is right. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And the faith is the conviction of things not seen. Just one verse gives us so much energy and makes us so happy about Jesus Christ and God's promises. That is our faith. Now the author of Hebrews gives us a few examples. I'm not going to talk about all these things. But examples of faith is in verse 1 and 7. One of the greatest features of reading Hebrews chapter 11 is that the author provides us the list of faith exemplars from the Old Testament. Now we are not getting into all details today, but we will be looking at three, maybe four faith exemplars, and so that we can get some ideas and practical explanation or approach to our faith. The first one is Abel in faith in verse 4. We all know about his story, Abel's story from Genesis chapter 4 and verses 3 and 5. That both Cain and Abel brought their offerings to God. They did their best. The problem is that Abel brought fat portions of the sum of the first of his flock that is described in Genesis. And but Cain brought an offering from the fruit of the ground. So that's their best. But God only accepted Abel's offering. That is a problem. So older brother Cain was so angry at everyone, at God and his brother, so eventually he killed his brother. Now, we may think that, well, it's not fair for Cain because he also brought his offering to God. Now, the point here is that the story of Abel's story is not about their offerings, but how God reacted toward their offerings. In verse 4, through which he was commended as righteous, as God commending him by accepting his gifts. Now, simply here in verse 4, saying is that God was pleased with Abel's offering, but not Cain's offering. Now, it's very difficult to find why God only, he was happy about Abel's offering. But the answer is actually found in verse 6. It's pretty much related. In verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now we know that God was Why God was pleased with Abel's offering? Because God knows that Abel had a faith in him. So also verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God. So we know that Abel had a faith. God accepted Abel's offering because of Abel had a faith, the unseen things and convictions, believing in the word of God. And it explains us all in Genesis chapter 4 and 4. It says, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their first fat portions. And the Lord had regarded, here the word regarded, for Abel's and his offering. The word regard in ESV means in Hebrew text is it is recognized. To look closely into. That's interesting. God looked closely into Abel's offering. God recognized Abel's offering. Because by faith, Abel brought offerings to God. And now our text says in verse 4, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Surely Abel's case challenges our faith as well. Our practice of offering to God. It's a serious thing. We have to think about it. As Jesus values the widow's two small copper coins than that of many rich people's large offerings and money, what we know is God is looking at your hearts. God is closely looking into our hearts when we bring our offerings to God. So when we had an offering today, where is your heart? Now, another question
that we should ask when we offer to God is, is God pleased with my offering? Am I making God happy? God was pleased with Abel's offering. That should be our case as well. Bringing offering to God is not a regular religious habit. Our Heavenly Father, the Almighty God, will not count on the amount of our offerings. $1, $2, and $5. But He will surely look into your hearts. He will look into your faith. As God was pleased with Abel's offering, that should be our case as well. What about Enoch? In chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Enoch's name is found in Genesis 5. And his story is different than that of Abel. But the main point is pretty much the same. In verse 5, in 11 verse 5, it said, he was commended as having pleased God. Same thing, pleased God. God was pleased with Enoch. And Genesis chapter 5, verse 12 to 22 and 24 says, Enoch, why God was pleased? Enoch walked with God. Excuse me. And 24, once again, two times, Enoch walked with God. Now, the phrase walked with God explains Enoch's special relationship, his intimacy with God, and his life of piety. This double repetition in Genesis in 5:22 and 24 clearly indicate us to that, you know, Enoch's relationship with God is very special and outstanding. The interesting thing is, that's why he did not see death. He didn't experience that, and God took him. Enoch's intimacy with God reminds you and me of Micah in the Micah Bible, what Micah said, Micah 6 and 8. This is very interesting. What does the Lord require of you but do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? So walking with God is not only Enoch's agenda, but Micah says to us, and the scripture says to us, it's our goal. We need to walk humbly with our God in every day, in our everyday life. They will show your faith. They will prove your faith. Then we have some questions. What about my relationship with my God, our God? Am I walking with Him every moment, every minute? What about my relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ? Where is He in our lives? We meet Him at the Sunday in a church. We meet Him at the Bible study meeting or any Christian religious meeting. But we don't see Him in our lives when we go to work and when we do something in the world. Is that true? Do we really have intimacy relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we really have a close and intimate relationship with our God? Every day. God was pleased with Enoch because of his relationship with him. And then our text says, by faith. Enoch had that faith. What about Noah? In verse 7, Noah is a famous guy. And Noah's faith is also described in the Bible, walked with God in 6 and 9. Now, the difference between Enoch and Noah was that Noah was warned by God. That's a totally different scale. Noah was warned by God concerning the events coming as yet unseen. Something will happen to this earth, and God warned him. Now, Noah could have responded to God's warning like other people in his time. Okay, well, that cannot be true. No, we don't see rain, so we're going to have rain. Well, are you making a big boat? That is not true. But the Noah responded to God's warning obediently. He responded obediently to God's word.
That's a little bit different than the meaning of walk with God. It's than Enoch. Noah faithfully followed the word of God and obeyed his teaching. The interesting point is that Noah obeyed God not out of fear of the coming of the judgment in our text, but in reverent fear. That is different fear. Noah trusted God and God's promises and his salvation plan. And Genesis 6 and 18 said, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall into the ark. You shall go into the ark, and you and your son, your wife, and your son's wives with you. Noah believed that. Trusted God's word. Making the ark was surely a crazy or absurd idea at the time. Toward other people at the time, but Noah trusted in God's promises of saving his people. And from the judgment. That's how he responded to God's warning. Now surely God's salvation plan for Noah's family is completed. And also related to us as well. In verse 7. By this he commanded the world. Condemned the world. And became the heir of the righteousness. And that comes by faith. Now these things are what we learn from chapter 11. Then what about chapter 12? Now, the author of Hebrews brings us to the conclusion of our faith in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Then chapter 12 starts with the famous word, therefore. That means it is related to chapter 11. This word is famous in the Bible. Now, without chapter 11, that means we cannot understand it. Chapter 12. The point of chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we can summarize that endurance. Endurance in our suffering. How can we keep our faith in our suffering? Now Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 urges you and me, all the Christians, to continue to trust like all the people in the Old Testament, chapter 11, in spite of their hardships and difficulties. The author of Hebrews gives a reason for the need of endurance in our hardships. That is simply saying, we are not alone. You are not alone. But we are surrounded by all the faithful people, all the faith exemplars in the Hebrews chapter 11. Isn't that awesome? You are not alone. Are you suffering? Are you going through a very difficult moment right now? You are not alone. You are surrounded all the people from the Bible, even Jesus Christ. Now we see the athletic image in Hebrews chapter 12, the game image. We are in the game. We're not outsiders. We're not bystanders. But we are in the game, in the arena, surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, Abel and Noah, Enoch, Abraham, even Moses, even Jesus Christ. Therefore, what we can do is just let them watching us? No, not that way. Our author says, therefore we need to run the race. In the verse 1, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now Paul describes about our race in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize for upward call of God in Jesus Christ. He's expressing that he's running for Christ, running toward Christ. That is the goal of our faith. Sometimes we are busy to measure if we have a faith or not. How can we apply our faith and how can we understand about faith? But we have to understand that the goal of faith is actually running toward Christ. If you have that sense, if you have that desire, if you have that burning heart, I'm going to live for Christ, running to Christ, then you have faith. It's not only you are running to Christ, but we all together run to Christ, toward Christ. We run for Christ. The author of Hebrews gives us the attitude of the runners. In verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely.
We read litany today. It says entangles.
Since we are running toward Christ, that is the definition of our faith, that we have to do right now is we need to throw off everything that hinders our running, our race to Christ. The runners in the game, whatever we see, any kind of athletic game, they remove everything. They remove everything from their bodies to win the game, to properly play the game. They remove extra weight and burden and clothing and objects and even any hindrance in their minds. When we watch Olympic games, they are waiting for their starting point. They're not thinking about, okay, what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home, eat pizza, okay? I put in my pizza and I forgot to turn it up. Not that way. They have to clear their minds and looking only the goal and run toward the goal. That is the meaning of throwing off everything that hinders our faith. We need to get rid of sins as well from our Christian life. Sin which clings so closely. Somehow it's something that I learned over my life is sins are like a magnetic. It just comes to us and attached to us and it lives with us. It's very difficult to get rid of these things. But once we realize that we are the runners toward Christ, we have to see what we are carrying and we have to get rid of all the sins before God. And verse 2 is kind of conclusion. The author of Hebrews says, looking to Christ, after removing all these things, looking to Christ, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Now, interesting thing is, chapter 11, the author of Hebrews gave us all kinds of people, Abel or Noah, Enoch. Now, he concludes that Jesus Christ is the perfecter of our faith. He is the greatest example. So when we see Jesus Christ, when we know that He is our Lord, we will run. We are able to run. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. He showed us His greatest example, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, maybe you are thinking of that right now, about your faith, your Christian faith and your life, your relationship to Christ. But one thing that we can carry home today is, let's keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the source of our faith. Because Jesus Christ is risen, the reason for our faith. Because Jesus Christ is the founder of our faith. Because Jesus Christ is the perfecter of our faith. So we have to fix our eyes on Christ. He is the greatest example for us in the life of our Christian faith. He suffered. He endured. He endured the cross because of all of you. So why not us? We endure everything around us. Jesus Christ is the assurance of our hope. Jesus Christ is the conviction or demonstration of things not seen. We already have that one. So let's run the race together. Our race is not a short one. The prolonged nature of the race is our race. That's why we need to run with endurance. That's why we need each one of you. Let's run together. Look at your brothers and sisters next to you. We are all running together for the kingdom of God as one church, as one brother, and one body. This is the game that we are in. You are in the game. Chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to Him must believe that He exists
and that He rewards those who seek Him. What rewards you will get, that is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful chapter, Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. It reminds us that we're athletes in faith. Sometimes we are surrounded by unexpected difficulties and challenges and trials. But Lord, we want to keep going. We want to keep run to Christ. So give us your wisdom and give us your encouragement. At the same time, Lord, we want to run together. Thank you so much for New Hope Christian from Church. Bless our church members, our brothers and sisters. Help us to look at our brothers and sisters if they are tired, if they are getting down. Please encourage us to hold our brothers and sisters so that we all can finish this wonderful race together. And we pray all these things, your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.